you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, my name is Danny Roth, and this is Everyday Horror. It's a podcast where we watch at least one horror movie for every day in the month of October, and then we talk about it, and it's very scary, or highly intellectual, I would say, a thoughtful proceeding. Today, I'm joined by the writer of, about 28 different things. The Wild, Submerged, I've done some Supergirl, done some Wonder Woman, Valiant, some stuff coming out.
Livewire,
and then Magic the Gathering. What else is on the list? Am I mostly there?
Yeah, I think you're there.
What's your name?
Vita Ayala.
There you go. This episode's a little different in that there wasn't a specific selection, no dark-seated psychological testimonies to give necessarily. I mean, maybe we'll find them, but you know, it's not like when someone says my favorite movie is The Fly, and then you go, "What's wrong with you?"
I mean, I couldn't choose. There are too many good options, I think, really, is what it came down to.
Yeah. So we delved into the library. We considered some options. We very nearly, just for housekeeping, considered Tales from the Hood 2. And you know what? It's my fault. I looked at it, and it was an hour and 50 minutes, and Listen, I'm going to be very honest. We tried in the beginning when I first started doing this podcast, like we were recording them early and then time kind of caught up. And now, like, if you were wondering if I'm really watching horror movies every day, the answer is yes. And also doing my regular work. So it's become quite a lot. And so now if the option is a 2-hour movie or an hour 20, hour 30 movie, I'm taking the hour 20 to hour 30. Like that's just time management. So maybe Tales from the Hood 2 will happen another time. As a matter of fact, Tales from the Hood, the original, is one of my favorite films of all time.
I messed up on Twitter and didn't put, they asked like my 5 top horror movies and
I still haven't responded because I get frozen when people ask me those questions.
I just had to like go and I was like, all right, I'm not going to put Tales from the Hood on there because that is 3 movies, really. It's 3 shorts.
It is many, many films.
But that is one of the greatest horror movies of all time. I love that movie.
It's really good. It's got a great sense of humor to it. And just like the shell story, the sort of thing that bookends it with the dude who runs the funeral parlor, the conceit that like these 3 guys have come because like maybe like a corpse has had some drugs on it or whatever it is. And they're like, "Where's the shit, man?" And every time he goes, "Ah, yes, the shit." It's so good. Just like the way he delivers the shit every time is just a delight.
And I remember like seeing that on television first when I was like a kid. It was on some like late night. Like, I don't know what it was on. And it just, there was cursing and blood, and then the ending, like the twist ending. I was I was not ready.
So satisfying.
I'm not
Everything
ready.
About it is real good. Yeah. Like of all of those things where it's like, yep, here's an anthology of stories. I've seen a lot of them. I like anthology horror. It's not to everybody's taste, but Tales from the Hood to me is the best. It's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I just find it very, very deep down satisfying. Anyway, so we went like really far afield. I feel like almost went as far opposite as one could go from Tales from the Hood. So Arrow put out a collection of films under the title The Bloodthirsty Trilogy. And those films are The Vampire Doll, Lake of Dracula, and Evil of Dracula. They were directed by this director, Michio Yamamoto, who had like worked with Kurosawa and a bunch of other people as like second unit director, DP, stuff like that. Had a string of time wherein some movies got made, and 3 of those movies sort of loosely were meant to try to grasp the Hammer horror era of vampire films, like trying to sort of pull from Western storylines while still keeping like a modern Japanese aesthetic. And I had seen Vampire Doll and Lake of Dracula before, but I hadn't gotten around to watching Evil of Dracula because, again, I watch a lot of horror movies for work and then also do like other regular work things. So I've been putting it off. And this was the other option. This was the option that was on the page. So we went for Evil of Dracula. That's what we watched. It came out in 1974.
It certainly did, too.
It certainly did.
Watching this movie, it certainly did come out in 1974.
Yeah. It's definitely got, what would you say are the telltale signs of it being out in 1974?
The very, very floofy sideburns. It's almost porn hair. Like, it's just...
It is. Well, it's either porn hair or, you know, you said 19... I looked at it and I was like, 1974. That's also the year that Tom Baker became the Doctor on Doctor Who. And you know who had a real floof of hair? Tom Baker.
Yeah, I mean, it is... And seeing it through the Japanese kind of like filter, even better. Like, it's just beautiful, beautiful sideburns. Just... unconnected to a beard too. None of them seem to have any
it
facial
just,
hair.
To me, like, it's like all those dudes' hair was like, it was like a cat belly.
It was great.
Like, just like the most like forbidden of fur that you're like, I can't touch that. Like, I know that like someone would get mad. I can't.
Yeah, that's
like,
not a thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say like,
can't be touching people's hair.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, that's true. That's true.
And the those incredibly wide collars were.
Oh yeah.
Just beautiful.
And a lot of buttons down a little too low.
Yeah, like two buttons too low on everyone. On everyone.
Yeah, that's okay.
There is also just within the first 10 minutes, there's a boob. Like there's just a titty.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Like, yes. Yes. That was the first, possible alternate title. 10 minutes of titty.
10 minutes of titty. I mean, I would rebrand.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like it could be like a sequel to Train to Busan too. Like
or, ten or 3:10 to Yuma.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
To 10,
titty.
10 minutes of titty. Yeah. 3:10 of titty. Anyway, Just gonna go ahead.
Just gonna keep it going. I mean, I did. You suggested it, and I did want to watch it because I'm a huge vampire movie fan. Vampire fiction in general, I just find it super fascinating, and I love all those old like Pike movies and Bryce and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, I really wanted to see what the Japanese thought of a like Western vampire horror at the time because we take their movies and mess them up.
Yes,
all
we
the
sure
time.
Do. That is a fact. I don't know if it'll happen, but there had been a consideration that we, this podcast would cover Pulse.
I haven't seen that.
So like there are these Japanese films that are sort of like they get like weirdly kind of forgotten, I think in part because the American adaptations were like so bad, cuz it's like, you know, I mean like Ringu probably better than The Ring by most people's estimation.
Yeah, for sure.
And Ju-on is better than The Grudge.
Clearly.
Like, but you know, like, but the thing is, like, I like the original Ring American adaptation. I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then The Grudge is it's okay.
It's funny. I feel like they definitely leaned into a lot of the like culture at the time, the pop culture at the time, to be like, here we go, like we're gonna, it's Sarah Michelle Gellar, this zombie's jaw is just gonna fall off for no reason. Like we're fine, this is gonna be fun, right? Like, the like tongue lolling out. I was like,
that's classic. I mean, the thing is that like that's not out of school for Japanese horror. Like that's pretty. That's the kind of stuff you can expect.
True.
It like tongues lolling out and girls farting. Like
yeah,
that stuff happens.
Yeah, that stuff happens. And that's something that I appreciate too. And watching Evil of Dracula, it didn't take itself too seriously. Like I feel like it was campy and fun, but it knew it. It wasn't.
Yeah,
like, trying for anything beyond that. Whereas, like some of the American remakes of East Asian horror, especially, like they're really taking themselves seriously. Like The Ring took itself super seriously.
Yes, although I will say the thing that they added, there's like one scene to me that's like very notable about that movie, and it's actually like the best part about it. It's the horse scene from the Ring. If you've not seen The Ring.
Yeah.
There is a sequence wherein a woman is on a boat, a big ass boat, going someplace and there's like all cars on it. And one of the cars has got like there's a horse in the carriage or whatever, like is in like a little crate. And like the horse freaks out, reacting to something as relates to the Curse of the Ring, and escapes from its confines and jumps into the water in front of the boat. And then the boat's rudders just destroy it, and there's just all this blood coming out from it's such a good sequence, and has nothing to do with any other version of the ring at all, like nothing to do with Ringu, nothing to do with the books.
No, they saw an opportunity and went for it.
Yeah, and that always, like, it really stayed with me. Like, that was one of those things where when I got to the end of that movie, I was like, I am not okay.
The soundtrack is what got me on that.
Yeah, fair, completely fair.
And that was purposeful. I love the soundtrack for Evil of Dracula. That's another very 70s.
It's like, very jazzy.
Yeah, it's almost jaunty.
It like, is. It's upbeat.
Hi, we're going to go to this all-girls school and vampires.
Yeah. It's time to get in this cab. You can curse. It's all right. And you're going to die. You're not. But the characters in the movie are. So
certainly.
Yeah. So... You are a vampire fan.
Yeah, I'm a huge vampire fan.
Have you watched much in the way of like sort of like the corresponding, like, have you watched any of the Christopher Lee like 60s and 70s?
Yeah. I've watched that kind of stuff. I mean, for a long time, this is terrible, but I would stream them before streaming was a thing, if we can say it that way.
How dare you?
I'm paying for it now. I love that kind of stuff. I would have it on all the time. We also sometimes borrowed cable, and sometimes that was available through that. There's a certain appeal to me about those old movies that, like, sometimes, like, I just don't find in modern horror, especially like vampire stuff. Although, again, I like contemporary vampire stuff. Don't get me wrong. Most of it.
I mean, there's stuff to enjoy. I like the Christopher Lee stuff is interesting in that. Well, I mean,
I said
like, so the
Pike
thing, the
and
thing
I meant
about
Lee,
it is
and now
that,
I'm gonna
like,
think about
all...
that shit forever.
Oh no,
that's gonna be the rest of my life. It's me thinking of that.
Christopher Lee has played Dracula, I think, more than almost anybody on Earth. The movies that he does, there's like a pretty basic thing that always happens. So it always comes down to sort of like what the additional trappings are and what the era is that sort of influence the tone. Because it's like Christopher Lee movies, if you were going to break them down to like the absolute essence, it's like somebody did something to Dracula. He is pissed. So he's going to go mess this girl up. And he's like, that's not the one that I really want. So I'm going to use this girl to get to another girl. And that'll show him. And also women. At the end. And then somebody kills Dracula, and then like he comes back later.
They kind of remind me of the Castlevania games.
Oh my god! Yeah, totally.
In a way.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure that the Castlevania movies are games are influenced by those in particular.
Very heavily.
But I would say that these particular ones sort of run the gamut. Like, so if you're looking at like some of like the earlier ones like Vampire Doll and Lake of Dracula, those are like, I would say more like the earlier fare. Lake was the most formulaic. Yeah, it is in a way. Like that one is something that almost like you could even say like has like feels like it's influenced by like the Universal Monster movies even a little bit. Evil of Dracula is... to me, it's like a little more balls to the wall. I wouldn't say it's like full on Taste the Blood of Dracula, which is my favorite Christopher Lee movie. That is like absolutely deranged. We used to work in a comic book store together, and the person who was kind of eventually ran the toy department for a little while, Alec Llewellyn, was the guy who put me on that one. He was like, that's the one you got to see. It's the best one. And he was right. I mean, like the fun thing about vampire stuff is once you establish what you're doing, you can just kind of get a little zany. And I think that definitely having seen all three of these now, I can say like the first two are a little more reserved, and Evil of Dracula is not reserved at all.
No.
As evidenced by 10 minutes of titty, like that alone is a very surefire sign that that it's a little bit different. They don't, the first ones aren't really quite like that. What is the plot of this?
I mean, it's summed up pretty succinctly, and I think it was the IMDb, where a man goes and takes a teaching position at an all-girls school where the principal is a vampire. But that is so disingenuous to what this movie is that, like, this is the kind of movie that you have to get drunk to explain to your friends. Like,
No,
you just got to see it. And they think you're explaining it weird because you're drunk, but you're like, no.
Yeah, the gist is, teacher comes, he's like a psychology teacher or whatever, and it's an all-girls school, and
not sure of the ages.
Yeah, we can't tell.
High school,
I don't know. College.
Hoping College.
Yeah, that would be great because, you know,
10 minutes to 10 minutes.
Yeah, like, so we, let's hope, well, you know, fingers crossed for a league, like, I didn't break the law by watching the film. So but yeah, he gets there, the principal immediately, like, you see him and you're like, and like,
that dude's a vampire.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, yes, I've seen the other films, and this man has played a vampire in other films. And but like, you also watched it, and you immediately were like, the man is.
Well, also too,
and you
like,
do too. Like, so the dude gets picked up from the train. Like, the teacher gets picked up from the train, and even the dude who's driving him there, you were like,
that guy's a vampire. I mean, I think to a certain extent, they definitely kept kind of the bones and the tropes of the Bram Stoker. I mean, Bram Stoker is listed as a co-writer.
Yeah, it's a choice. So, they chose to do that. Very, very respectful.
Yeah, so this is like a Japanese Dracula school AU, if you will. So the teacher is clearly like the Jonathan Harker, and then the guy that picks him up is the Renfield, and you're like, oh, I get it. And then within 5 minutes, Dracula's made him drink. He's gotten him a little drunk.
Oh yeah. Well, this is like, so some weird things happen. So like, so the gist is, the teacher is, he's driving up, and we see a car on the side of the road that's wrecked. And he's like,
this is a quiet area. Why is there a car wreck?
Yeah. He's like, this is weird. This place is just like stone quiet, like, why, like, what happened? Like, it seems like it would be very weird for there to be an accident. And he's like, oh yeah, like, the driver's dead instantly, and in the back seat of the car was the principal's wife, and she also died instantly.
And you're like, oh, this is a bad time to be.
Yeah, it's like, wow, what's up?
The guy too, the Renfield guy, is unblinking through the entire movie. Yeah. And I found that interesting. The guy that plays Dracula, like, he does not blink on camera. I'm sure afterwards, just full Visine, like, eyeballs. Yeah. But, like, everyone that's a vampire, once they manifest that, which is represented through thick, thick blue-white makeup, like, you're like, oh, they don't blink. And it looked like they were trying not to breathe. Like, they had a lot of fun. But, yeah. It's the setup is classic Dracula, and then from there, after the crunkness, like, it's
yeah,
well, it spins, like, out of control.
I like, so like, the idea that and the big thing about the car being on the side of the road is not just that the wife is dead, but that, like, that car's been sitting there, I think they said, for like
two days,
and you're like, well, that's like, I understand that it's the 1970s, but even that, that's weird.
Already,
it's weird
eerie
that the stuff is just sitting there. So you go, A, that's unsettling, and B, you think, okay, so like, that's not the whole story. Like, there's more to that than meets the eye. So yeah, he gets to the school, and the principal.
Oh, they have like the pictures on display, and hers is like,
oh yeah,
there's like a rose, and like, there's black streamers like at a party. For some reason, that's how they roll. And the principal comes down, and he's like, BT Dizzle, my wife is in the basement, her body. He specifically says her corpse, actually, I was like, what? Is that like a translation thing? Or he's like, yeah, her corpse is in the basement. We're going to keep it there for like a week. You don't mind, right? And the teacher's like, yo, is this a bad time? Like, do you need me to leave?
And like, instead, the dude is like, not only is it the dopest of times, but also, I am a little under the weather. And so, you gonna be the new principal, girl. Like,
oh, and oh, yeah. And oh, he gets like Pet Cemetery on him, where he's like, we pray for her resurrection.
Yeah, like, and you're like
just throwing that in there, like,
and that's weird. That's super weird.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we offer prayers that she'll come back. So she's down there, and I was like,
yeah, and he's like, that's messed up, but okay. Word. Right.
Yeah, cool. And then he makes some drink.
Yeah, he's like, take a drink.
And then
he's just out.
Yeah,
he like wakes up in the bed and he's like, and his like tie is undone, and I'm like,
an extra button was undone there.
Yeah, and you're like,
you know what? How much did you drink?
I'm just gonna leave that alone.
And he wakes up to that Star Trek, like,
yeah, he starts hearing like, yeah, you're like, yo, somebody is practicing the Star Trek theme this day. And so he goes to investigate, and then it's 10
titty.
Minutes into the film.
There's just immediately titty.
Like, there it is.
Which I thought I was having a hallucination.
Like, nope.
And you think
not
that
this
like,
time.
Yeah, no, this is real. And you think that like, you're like, oh, I understand this format. So there's like Lucy and like she's going to be mysterious and disappear. No. This bitch is a vampire immediately.
Yeah.
Like she's just like, and then jumps him and he runs appropriately away. Like,
yeah. And then but then another one shows up and like he thinks he gets stabbed in the back or something. Like he gets hit by like a, like there's like a statue that's got something jutted out and like he gets it in the back and collapses.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and he thinks it's a dream. Now here is the moment wherein he does something that I think we can all agree.
Nightmare shit.
Is not a cool thing that he does. So immediately his decision is, I'm going to, like, you know, like it's Scooby-Doo. He's like, let's investigate, gang. Except that he's having narration because there's nobody else. He doesn't have a talking dog.
But he's talking to himself. Half of it is internal, but then he's just like talking out loud.
Just having a good time. Just having a little chat with himself.
And so
As you do.
I mean, you know, that's
normal stuff.
So he rolls down
to the crypt area, to the basement.
To the basement lab crypt. And just opens, he finds a coffin, which already creepy, I would have rolled out. And then he opens it, already, so two terrible steps. And then he touches the corpse. Like, he's just like, oh, she's dead.
And then he pulls his hand back and he's like, I don't know what we're supposed to think. Like, is her hand cold, warm, what? Like, what's his response? And then the principal, who's definitely a vampire, is
100%. This guy.
He like, hey, bro.
How dare? Like, how dare? Just get out of here.
He's like, literally pack up your things and like, please exit this area and never come back here again. But the best part about that is that like he's the reason he's being so aggressive is not just that he's mad, but also he's trying to keep this dude distracted because his wife's hands, you see that like she's starting to move behind
They're like
him.
Wiggling and coming up.
Like she's thinking about it. Like she was like, not sure I'm ready to be awake, but like I'm trying it out. And he's like, you got to go right now. Just go.
Look at me, man.
Don't even look back there. You just I'll take care of it. You go, get out. Anyway, bye. So yeah, like
you're not fired, which immediately to me, like, biggest red flag. You should be fired.
Yeah. If
there's
you're not
no
getting
way.
Fired, like something's up with that place. Like that's it. So that has happened, and now we actually, like, what's weird is, like, the whole beginning of the movie, it's like, there's nobody. It's like, here's the vampire principal, here's the vampire chauffeur, and here's the not vampire psychology professor.
Yeah, and doctor. They introduce the doctor at that point, too.
And then after that, all of a sudden, now, like, they open it up, and now there's a bunch of students, and there's other teachers, and, like... Yeah, and they got a whole bit where like the teachers, the students are into the psychology professor. Like they're like, ha ha ha, I want to marry you, and he's like, oh, I don't think so. I don't want to go to jail, but maybe, ha 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 ha.
And oh yeah, like, and the creepy Renfield is like muttering like.
Oh,
really
weird.
More like morbid poetry off himself and watching
the girls.
He says
something about Baudelaire and you're like,
blood
what is going on?
And the girls are like, we don't like that he looks at us. And the psychology teacher's like, that's just because you're pretty. And like walks away.
Yeah. Like, and then later on, like they're like, maybe we should ask this guy for some help. And like one of the girls like real like cold is like, he'll just be like, y'all are pretty. So he's useless. And I was like, this is amazing. Like that one girl knew, like you were like, maybe this girl should survive. I don't think she's, no, she's not the one though.
No, I think
there's like a bunch of them and they all like one by one. I don't want to surprise anybody, but like if you're at an all girl school and you are one of the all girls,
if your hair isn't that a different color, you're gonna be
all dead. Like, so the gist is he meets the girls, like he like shows them how Rorschach tests work and like he meets another teacher, blah, 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 blah. And then
these girls start dropping,
just dropping. And the conceit is Rose related.
Yeah. So you first see the Rose, I guess, with the teacher's, the principal's wife's coffin, actually. I'm sorry, I misspoke earlier. It's on the coffin. And then there was a girl that disappeared without a trace 2 days before he got there, which again,
toast normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And he decides to go into her locked room and look around, and there's a dead Rose on her desk.
Yeah.
So there are three main girls who all room together, and they're the ones that had flirted with the teacher. And then one of them leaves the room because of the three, one is flirting with the teacher again. So she goes, I'm going to go look for a roommate because this seems weird.
Yeah, it is.
It is. And then she finds a rose on the floor and steps on it, and it cuts her.
Yeah, like real quick.
Yeah, like
not wasting
like
time.
Razor wire. And she's marked for Dracula. So these roses are from Dracula. For vampire by vampire, and it is to mark off who he will enthrall next. And so the same rose gets passed around like three times, but
the thing about it is that like it'll be white, and right. then like it'll turn red like when he drinks, which is kind of a cool effect. That also feels very Castlevania somehow to me. Yeah, I'm like, wow. Anyway, so there's just certain conceits that are pretty interesting, like cops are useless. Like that's it. Like there's a moment where like they call the police and you're like, all right.
But then the police show up
and
they're,
yeah. No. And the cops are like, I think it's fine.
Yeah, there's a body, but
yeah, like there's a whole thing where like one of the girls just like jumps down the steps.
She attempts to accost another girl. So the one girl is a vampire now, right? And so she's like, I'm gonna bring this other chick to Dracula, and the character resists, and so she tries to get her, and the teacher interrupts, and so she throws herself off of a staircase.
Yeah.
And then a real
drama queen. So they're like, oh, this girl is really like, it's like a suicide. Like, it's a victimless crime, you see. Like, there's no murderer officially, and they're like, yeah, but there was a dude, like, jumped out the window, like, he was in there. And they're like, yeah, but you didn't see the face. And the psychology professor is like,
I saw him from behind.
I saw him behind 100%. This dude is the principal.
Who's in the room right now. The cop is like, let's just see what the principal has to say about this.
Yeah, yeah. And the principal's like, it wasn't me. Like,
yeah, straight.
And the counter man in the dorm room.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. So like.
And then there's another teacher who's like, you know who looks like the principal from behind?
From behind is your ass. Like.
You, Mr. Psychology teacher. And you're like,
And they all laugh about it. But yeah, like now you understand what they're setting up. Yeah. They're setting up that this movie is about to go full face off, which it does.
Which it surely does. I wasn't sure how they were going to do it. I didn't realize it would be that. But like, there's another kind of like legend that gets talked about.
Yeah.
There are two.
Yeah, this is really weird. Yeah.
It's really weird. There's the legend of this white man who came to the island 200 years ago, and he was a Christian, and so he's persecuted, and he forsook his God and then became a blood-sucking demon.
Yeah.
Because
he like drank his own blood to survive, and like,
which,
yeah,
sure,
yeah, he did
why
that,
not?
And then and then yeah, he also he like spat on a cross or something.
Yeah, and then he finds a 15-year-old girl, and she's his first victim. And then he is lamenting at her death, and then she rises from the dead. So this is something that like the only other character that believes the psychology professor is the doctor. And he's like, I heard this. I really like folklore. Isn't that weird?
You never see the white guy again. And you're like, this is very weird. Well, this is up for some debate. So, yes. So, like, this is interesting. This is not the first of the three movies wherein there is an aspect where there's a white person that's involved in the origin story of how some of these things happen. And I think it's a result of the fact that they are trying to pay homage to the fact right. that, like, yeah, this is, like, we got this stuff from like, these sort of, like, Western films. And two, as I discussed in the previous episode about Night of the Demons, this is just hashtag white culture.
So this movie is about how white people are blood sucking demons.
Yeah, I just like, yeah, this saying. Is it. Like, Night of the Demons also is, yeah, like, that's like Valerie and I were trying to figure it out. And I was like, you know how people say there's no shit, like, what, there is no white culture? I'm like, this is it. Now you know, like, if you're trying to figure it out,
we found
this
it.
We tracked it. So, so that's the one thing. And then there's sort of this other element, which is that, like, they start to discover that there were other, like, he, like, the psychology professor is like, oh yeah, like, he wants me to take over the job of the principal. And they're like, oh, so the track record on that ain't great.
And this school has been open for like 80 years. So, like, you think that maybe this principal is only the second one. Right. But it turns out that there have been two others.
Yeah. Like, there's some weird stuff. And the last one that, like, was supposed to take over, like, you know, supposedly went crazy and now is in an asylum. So two things sort of happen at the same time, which is pretty, like, this is pretty slick the way they do this storytelling wise. Like, it's cool. So, like, they have a bit where another one of the girls gets captured and gets brought down by the dead wife. As it were, to, like, sort of like the basement catacomb situation. And at the same time, psychology professor is checking out this asylum deal. And as he is trying to talk to this previous guy who was almost going to become the principal, but just can't get him to respond, like, they show that he's got this huge scar down by his jawline. And at the same time, you see that the vampire wife is, like, actually cutting open, and I believe there's more titties here.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
More titty action.
Covered in blood.
Yeah, blood and titties is a genre in all lands. And so the wife is chopping off the face. She takes the face off of the student and then puts it on her own face and becomes this girl. And you go, oh, okay. So in order for them to be able to keep living unsuspiciously, the whole,
so to speak,
yeah, so to speak, but like I guess this is the best they could come up with, but like the whole plan is, like, we're just gonna put new faces on every X number of years and then just keep going in the same place rather than moving around. Like, they don't want to be nomadic. They like where they live. It's like, you know, I live in Queens. I like living here. And if I was going to live forever, I guess I would just have to steal some faces.
That seems reasonable if you have some sort of rent control situation. So.
Yeah, it is what it is. But in that way I understand them. But like, yeah, so they set up that, like, okay, so yeah, they both steal faces and this dude almost got his face stole, but he got away and that's why he's in an asylum. And like, you're not really sure if he can even talk or whatever. Like,
yeah, I had assumed at first that he had just had his vocal cords cut.
Yeah, but they were trying to get the whole face.
Yeah.
So yeah, so the dude goes back to try and, like,
save the one
girl. There's literally one girl who's still alive, and she is already in trubs. She's already in trouble.
She should have left. She should have gone with him,
well,
or gone home.
That's everybody. Yeah, like, I don't understand why, like, any of these people just could have, like, you could have gone.
What we skipped over is that most of the girls go home for a vacation, but the three roommates stay because one has fallen ill. And the other two are like, we'll watch you until you feel better, then we'll leave. And so of the three roommates, two of them are picked off.
Yeah, they're very, I mean, like, they're well-meaning, but they're dumb as hell. Like,
yeah, I just get this woman to a hospital.
like, and then it's a wrap. But yeah, like, yeah. I don't understand, like.
But yeah, so he's racing back. And as that's happening, the remaining roommate is confronted with who looks like her roommate.
Yeah, and she's like, oh.
But immediately she knows. Like, she's like, who is you? Like, this is wrong. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. She's like, what's the password? Like, essentially, she's like, you seem,
Yeah, that's good. That's exactly what happens. And then, like, again, like, same deal. Like, the professor also is like right on it because he also has an interaction with her and is like,
who are you?
That's not you.
So but he lets her like, so the girl disappears. The remaining one figures it out, unmasks Mr. Jenkins. Not really, but like she figures out this is not her friend. And then the principal's wife wearing her friend's face is like, all right, well, I wasn't really trying. So I guess like, I'm just going to like disappear you. Like no one cares about you.
Yeah.
And then the professor comes back and here is, again, the principal's wife. And she's like, I want to tell you something, but like not in this room. Yeah. Can we like, just like roll out? And what I found interesting is like, that is the kind of shit that like little kids do when they did something wrong. Yes. And they're like, can I talk to you? I need to tell you a secret. But like over there, like nowhere near where the thing is.
Happened.
Like,
yeah.
We'll be fine. And he follows her out to this lake that is covered in creepy fog where any like there's been a man running around attacking people who is like invincible, essentially. Like, and he just has no problem walking out in the dark to a place where it's easy to dispose of a body. Like, okay. Yeah.
There also was like, the teacher who had the interest in folklore, took some pictures guy. And then died.
Yeah.
And his pictures were worthless because you can't take a picture of Dracula.
But the psychology professor still understands that they were supposed to be. So it's a picture of the girl who eventually is taken over by the principal's wife. And she's standing and it looks like she's like dancing alone. And he's like, no, see, there's a person there because her arms are like this. And I'm like, is that... Like, you're not wrong, but also, why would you leap to that conclusion? Like, did you read the script in advance? Like, what's going on?
It's the leap of faith, man. It's the third part of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta trust that the thing's there, you know what I mean? You just gotta take the step out and believe.
Fair enough.
That's it. The penitent man kneels, blah, 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 yada, yada. And don't choose poorly.
I was both impressed and not impressed with this professor.
Yeah.
Like you understand what's going on and you're still making the wrong moves. Just leave. You have a car. Yeah. Like he could have taken that.
He's got a cute little bug. He's got a good little Volkswagen bug. He could have just left.
Yep.
Just left. Hop in that thing. It's got room for one more. Yeah. Get your girl in there and just peace out.
But nope.
So he gets attacked by everybody. Just everybody is he's getting attacked from all sides.
They're like wrestling. They're not really like punching or kicking or really like they're just kind of like tumbling on the ground.
Bunch. Like somebody gives like the people's eyebrow. Yeah. Like this is the dude does like whatever the Undertaker move is there. Like, you know what I mean? Like Paul Bearer's in the back and he's like, oh, Undertaker. You know, like not really. Oh, actually, no. The Renfield dude is kind of Paul Bearer now.
Yeah,
now I'm thinking in like classic wrestling terms. Like the dude Renfield dude is Paul Bearer. And Principal Dracula is the Undertaker.
There's like a weird for no reason they show the principal's wife in the new body like having like relations with the Renfield guy.
It's weird. The whole thing is weird. Everything about that is very strange.
But also not out of place.
You can't be surprised. Vampires is the things they get up to.
Yeah, just wacky.
So there's a lot of there's some fights. The young girl does manage to like kind of wake back up and get involved in things again a little bit.
She's the only one that doesn't succumb.
Yeah, she's smart. That's like the understanding is that she's quite intelligent.
And that. Like
she's able to sort of bite it back a little bit.
It's weird though because they're like they're all at this school. I don't know. Let's say it's a college. They all study hard. And there's no real discernible difference between them, like in terms of like one being smarter than the other. But like the first two roommates, like they get wounded and they're just like, I'm a vampire now.
Yeah. It's like a quick turnaround.
Like, and then she straight up gets bitten and she's just like, no, I'll still help you. Like, it's good. I really don't want to wear that makeup. I hate it.
Yeah. She's like, I'm have an allergic reaction to that. I can tell you right now. I think I'm a breakout. I don't need that. You know what I mean? Like
explaining this movie again, we're doing such a disservice because it's truly just, you have to see this thing.
It's wild. But yeah, so like eventually the chief vampire, the Dracula fellow, Principal Drax gets it like with a burning hot poker, like pretty much like straight through.
But it's like, and the a deal spear. Is that like it's not even a
you're like this
poker.
Is that's like what was this doing here?
And then he hammers like the professor hammers it in with a stool as Dracula stands there and takes it.
He at that point he's ready to go, I guess. But yeah, the thing like, is that like anybody that he brought along, like he's sort of like the root of the problem. So like if he goes down, everybody goes down.
Yeah, they stuck to that kind of pretty classic, and like destroy the master,
and
destroy
so
the servant.
So the conclusion we are, I think, meant to draw is that based on the whole face thing, and the wife thing, is that this old folk tale is that like is accurate, and that this dude who is Japanese now was like, this is cultural appropriation. He was he's a white guy who took a Japanese guy's face, and that that girl who like he killed, who then rose, is like, that's the same one. Like it's the two of them like all throughout history for our however many centuries now.
I
think that's it. Like they never say it directly, but like what else are you supposed, what other conclusions can there be drawn?
It was just weird because instead of like the faces falling away, they just kind of turn to skeletons.
Yeah, they get really old.
Yeah,
like Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. You see, I was right. I was right all along.
We've brought it all back.
They chose poorly.
Yeah,
so,
certainly.
Yeah. And then like, they just do a whole cool effect. And then at the end, literally the movie ends.
It's just
with
them looking at these,
looking
like,
at these
skeletons,
two skeletons
like,
holding hands.
Like, and I was like, well, where the hell do you go from here? And the answer is
it
done.
Is nowhere.
You're just
and just
done.
It literally just said, das it.
like
the
that's all,
end.
Folks. Oh my God.
And then, and then you heard like, and that was the close of the film. Like, they just like, I don't know, like, were there even any credits? It was just done. They were like, the end.
Yeah, they were finished
out
with it.
So yeah, like when I say like it was 84 minutes long, I mean like all 84 minutes was movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like there wasn't like Lord of the Rings where like the last hour is credits.
No, this was and there's stuff that we didn't touch on in there because there's just
it's a lot.
They packed that movie chock full. I'm really glad that we watched this movie. I feel like my life is a richer place for it. I'm really, really curious about interpreting one cultural thing through the lens of another culture. I find that really fascinating. Just as a look at the culture doing the interpretation, what do they find the most important elements of this other culture's like story? And so I was like, oh my God. Okay. And I did find it really funny that essentially the bad thing was white people. Like white people brought this thing to this island and, it has been destroying young girls. And I was like, oh, okay. What a comment.
Give this podcast 5 stars.
Or we didn't make the movie.
I mean, they literally, like, I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, we're literally talking about the text.
Yeah, this happened
like,
in the movie.
It's the text of the film. There's no debate about what it, like, that's just it. That's just facts.
In almost a very real way, like, they're letting you know what they think. Like, yeah, this is fun. We're making this thing, but like, you're a plague on our nation. Like, and I was like, okay.
Well, in general, yeah, Japan is not really a place that welcomes outside folks. That's like, I will say this. Like,
dealing with the Americans in particular was not great.
But in the year of our Lord 2016, when I went out to Japan for 2 weeks, like, the whole thing was I had my phone on me. We had got, we had like built in Wi-Fi. Like I had to carry the Wi-Fi in my pocket. And the reason why I did that amongst other things was like any place we went, any stuff we wanted to check out, I would do a Google search because like you'd look and you'd like, you'd read the reviews and the reviews would tell you like, if you're white, don't go. They would just tell you straight out, like, don't even show up.
That's my entire existence.
Yep.
Like that's.
Yeah.
That's a thing that until I was in college, I didn't realize that like of course white people don't have to worry about that, but it didn't really hit me that that was a thing that like white people didn't have to worry about in a substantial way until I was in a place where it was mostly white people, and I was like, oh, this is just standard operating procedure, man. But especially in a place where you don't speak the language like that.
Yeah, no, they don't. Mm-hmm. They didn't want that. And that's so like. There were many places that I did not go to because they said, don't. And I said, sounds good. I'm not gonna challenge this. Not looking to change the day. Anyway, I guess, the moral of the story is Just let white people have what they like. Shouldn't see enough. They had just not tried to kick Christianity out the door that way. Like, if they had just let that white man be Christian, none of these things would have happened. White people get crazy. Like, you take away a little bit, they take away a lot. So,
apparently, your immortal soul and yeah. your face. What I'm curious about.
Go ahead.
Well, there are many things, but. How long had the face-off thing been happening? Just as long as the school was going on?
Or like before that
longer,
or what?
Because like, for like, so the legend was that it happened like over 200 years before. So like for 120 years was this white dude wandering around with this young Japanese girl and people were like, what the?
Yeah, I don't know. So it's like, a good question.
When did they come up with that racket?
Left open. Yeah, yeah. You could be. Yeah, it's a slick move.
Yeah, slick move. I mean, the school was open for quote unquote 80 years, right? So at least that long. But like,
Yeah, like how long do the faces last? Like when you put on a new face like that, like is it good or is it like go sour or like what? Nah. Is it like eggs, milk? Like what's the story? Like how long does that keep?
It seemed like the conceit was that like it became part of their flesh.
Oh yeah, like it's like a magic spell kind of.
Yeah, and so like I think your first like thought of them needing to persist as people in the space is probably right. This movie was bonkers.
Yep. All right. Well, I feel that we've managed to have a very thorough conversation about this now. Hey V, if someone watched this movie and then was like, "Oh, I like this." What else would you say they should watch?
I mean, they should watch the other two in the trilogy, I would imagine.
No doubt, no doubt. Yeah.
I would say that, what is it? What's the one that I haven't watched? Taste of Dracula.
Taste the Blood of Dracula. That was going to be my recommendation, yeah.
I don't know. It depends on how campy you want to get and what culture, right? Like, so
yeah,
like,
do we
wreck another Japanese movie or do we?
You could write if you want to wreck some Japanese movies by all means.
If you're looking for like takes on monsters that you're familiar with through a Japanese lens, I like Japanese ghost stories the best. I think that they're some of the scariest. If you haven't seen the original Ring, watch that. We were actually flipping through the streaming service and this is in Japanese. I think it's Korean, actually, if I'm not mistaken, although I don't remember. So please don't hate me. But Tale of Two Sisters was up. Mm-hmm. And that movie, I love that movie. So that's a great take on a ghost story, a haunting.
Cool. Yeah, I would say, honestly, I mean, I love Taste of the Blood of Dracula, but since this one is set in a modern day, and I can't in good conscience, there's like a Dracula AD 1972 or something, like, and that is a bad film, but there is one that follows it. It is like kind of the end of the line on the Hammer Horror Christopher Lee Dracula movies, and it's kind of a mixed bag, but I like it. It's called Scars of Dracula. That is set in the modern day, and it is. It definitely has a bit of a cult. There's like a cult of Dracula in it, and like it also has a very interesting conceit for what Dracula's motivation is, which in that movie is completely different from every other movie that he's in previous to. And I like it a lot. And I would say like a lot of people bag on that movie, but my recommendation would be ignore those things and like yeah, give that a shot. Like that's a really interesting one, and it's got Peter Cushing's in that one too, I believe. Oh, cool. And everybody loves Pete Cush.
I would say also, if you're looking for a ridiculous, campy vampire movie, watch the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
Oh, gosh.
Because it has that ridiculous, like,
extended death scene.
Oh, my God. That's great. And all this, so they stab him and the blood's everywhere. Like, that's pretty classic.
It is good.
Yeah.
All right. We did it.
Yay.
Good work. All right. So let's say people listen to this podcast and they liked you specifically, and maybe me, where could they find you? Not in your house, because that's weird, but like on the internet.
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Definitely Vita. I do use blockchain on Twitter for my own protection. So if you find yourself blocked, my Instagram's open. Feel free to pop over there. I don't really filter that.
Cool. And if people go to like Comixology, can they get like is how many of the books are available digitally there if they just wanted to like jump?
Almost everything that I've done is up on Comixology. Cool. If you're a digital person, if you're a physical person, your local comic shop should be able to order in The Wilds and Submerged. So
cool. All right. My name is Danny Roth. You can find my work on sci-fi.com. videos that I've done where I like make fun of Star Trek characters for being bad at love are there. I wrote an article there about all the Christopher Lee movies that probably exist in some fashion still. And yeah, I do like three podcasts for sci-fi. So, you know, if you're just hard up, because there's just no podcasts in the world, so many available to you. Hey, yeah, definitely give this. I have one of our partners, Jordan Zacharin, the Features Editor. He does a podcast called The Fandom Files. And at the end of every episode, he says, please give us 5 stars. Oh, I'm begging you. He's like really pathetic about it. So I'm just going to command you. Give us 5. No, it doesn't matter. Give a review if you want. Don't give a 1-star review because I said something political that you didn't like. That's corny. Don't do that. This is a wild example. Please don't do that.
It's kind of lame.
It is. Please don't do that one thing. But if you want to find me on like social media, you can find me at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N. Ordinary, also with one N. Thank you for listening to this podcast. And remember, kids, sometimes the best cure for the horrors of every day is a little everyday horror. We'll see you next time.